let's get back to left-sided RAS wild type. And let me put it a different way. You have a situation where a patient needs a response. They're either symptomatic, or maybe you're trying to shrink down some liver lesions and making them resectable. Does the data suggest one way or the other, whether there's an advantage to EGFR antibodies or BEV?
So now we bring up the other possibility, which is FOLFOXIRI. So if there's no evidence that FOLFOXIRI will make more patients R0 resectable. So in terms of the outcome of changing resectability of liver metastases, that did not turn out to be the case. But in studies that compared FOLFOXIRI BEV to FOLFIRI BEV, for example, the outcome is far superior with the FOLFOXIRI. In fact, many of us will start with FOLFOXIRI in the majority of patients. Certainly, if I have a patient who needs a response, or who I think I get one bite of the apple, a patient who, if doesn't respond in 2 or 3 months, may not have options, we will start with FOLFOXIRI.
What about choice of antibody?
So most of the data is with BEV and FOLFOXIRI and the so-called TRIBE study by Falcone and Loupakis. The benefit of FOLFOXIRI BEV is clear. That is the best combination, but it's toxic. It's a pretty high-risk treatment. And these are patients who might, let's say, have bleeding or have reasons to stay away from BEV. And because often the primer will be left in place in patients who have the most dire condition because you're hesitant to delay systemic therapy for a few months.
All right, well, let's get back then. Yeah. Let's move away from the hepatic resection. Let's talk about metastatic disease in a patient who's symptomatic, where you would like to see, you know, the symptoms improve. How would you approach, and what does the data say in terms of choice of antibody?
So the problem with the data, of course, is the data didn't include any of these analyses about essentially, are we really helping patients, symptomatic patients? And most of these patients are actually not as symptomatic. Few are. Some of the most symptomatic patients have BRAF mutations. That's a different subset we'll discuss later. And those are slam dunk, FOLFOXIRI, bevacizumab. But I agree with Alan. I think patients, if you really want to induce a response, even in the non-curable setting, and the patient is young and is able to withstand aggressive chemotherapy, I would personally prefer to go the FOLFOXIRI plus bevacizumab route than the FOLFIRI or FOLFOX plus EGFR inhibitors. I'll tell you why. You're probably going to get about the same response rate. You may actually end up with about the same level of relief. The only difference is that FOLFOXIRI bevacizumab, you could consider exposing the patient to 3 to 4 months of treatment and then tone it down to either FOLFIRI bevacizumab or even capecitabine bevacizumab. So you have a plan where a patient gets exposed to what I call induction therapy, and then you go to a maintenance. The challenge with EGFR inhibitors, we still don't understand how to establish a maintenance regimen with EGFR inhibitors. And the toxicities of these EGFR inhibitors become cumulative with time. Those patients will have really bad, essentially, skin manifestations, hair manifestations, refractory hypomagnesemia, so significant issues, and patients really get tired of it. So I think, you know, for all purposes, I would, like Alan, would favor FOLFOXIRI bevacizumab if I really, my intent is to get a quick response and get the patient relief and then proceed with maintenance strategies.
So I want to hear what happened with a couple of your patients, but first, I want to ask you to maybe try to explain some of the data we found in the survey. And if I can just summarize it, you know, I think what we saw was basically if you have left-sided RAS disease, it looked like at least half, maybe a little bit more than half of the investigators would start out with chemo EGFR antibody. For the ones who don't, most of them would use it second line. So my question to you, Alan, is why are they doing that?
Well, I think, first of all, the data suggests that cetuximab EGFR antibodies may be a bit better on the left-sided patients who are RAS wild-type, all RAS wild-type. I think there's also an issue of patient preference, and I think in the U.S., or at least, it'd be interesting to see how these investigators broke down based on where they practice.
There are only two international ones.
Yeah, so that's interesting, because we find that when I talk in Europe about this, people say, well, who cares? You know, cetuximab is better. And I might say, well, yeah, but patients do not like having acne, you know. And so I think that, to me, the patient preference is a dominant factor. And also, remember, there is the FHIR3 data which supports the EGFR antibodies.
The thing that surprised me is these are primarily U.S. investigators. Yeah. Is that right? A substantial number are using first-line EGFR antibodies?
Absolutely. It's right. And it's not wrong to do it. It's a preference. As Alan said, I mean, you know, you sit with the patient and you have these discussions. And we have our biases, of course. You know, the data is not very impressive on the left side to really make a strong case for one versus the other. Some folks, you know, get attached to the difference of, you know, perhaps a couple of months here or there. The idea is that a lot of these patients will not need and will stay on this therapy for 14 months, 16 months, some of them even longer than that. And EGFR inhibitors are tough. They're not easy agents. And again, depends perhaps what part of the country and patient acceptance. You know, in my own practice, I really do not discriminate left versus right. I start with Bev. As I said, you know, if I need a response, I go to FOLFOXIRI. If I want to intensify the response, I go to FOLFOXIRI. If I feel that the biology is ripe and I can give the patient essentially a marathon-like approach, I would go with FOLFIRI, arguably also with FOLFOX. Now, to that matter, with a left-sided rice wild tumor, I do not wait for EGFR inhibitors to go into the third line. I don't apply that bevacizumab beyond progression approach or what have you. I actually bring the biologic very early into the second line, if needed, where you still see close to 50%+ or more response rate and a meaningful outcome. So that strategy is probably more accepted in clinic like ours. It's not wrong to do EGFR inhibitors in the first line, but I don't necessarily think that it's a superior strategy or an inferior one. It's just a different strategy that may introduce issues with quality of life of patients, adverse issues with quality of life.
I mean, in 80405, we had, I think, a very well done quality of life instrument that accompanied it that was done prospectively. And the overall quality of life would have turned out to be equal.
Really?
Based on all the scales. The point is, though, that it was a little warped because the patients, if you looked in the individual analyses of different situations, patients hated acne. Their quality of life vis-a-vis skin toxicity was horrific. But it's a perversion because patients know and doctors know that the worse the acne, the suggestion is that patients will do better. It's a pharmacodynamic marker for efficacy of the EGFR antibodies. So we're quite sure that patients, their general outlook on life and how they were doing, if they had severe acne, they didn't like it. But because they thought they had a better chance of doing better, they felt better.
They felt good about it. And so that's the problem with, again, unblinded. And you can't blind the study in any shape or form. But that's one of the problems with unblinded studies and making quality of life measures.
So that's interesting.